Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you once again for all things. And Father, we just ask as this word goes forth this morning that you enlighten us to a greater degree concerning the importance of righteous motivation in all things, that you might be glorified to the greatest degree. So we give you all praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm doing Righteous Motivation Part 4. It's been something that's been very heavy on my heart lately, in particular. Each and every one of us have to realize just how important it is to be righteously motivated in all things, because as we come down in this last hour to the grand finale, so to speak, we're beginning again to see the absoluteness of God to a greater degree. And quite simply, if you strip everything down to its bare root, a person is either going to be motivated selfishly or unrighteously, or they're going to be motivated righteously or in perfect accordance with the heart of God. And so we can no longer be a people to any degree who walk around in that gray, cloudy area of uncertainty concerning these things, because God has most certainly made the provision for us to walk perfectly motivated at all times. That means in all our actions, all our words, we are going to speak and act in a manner which is pleasing to God, and which, of course, constitutes doing the work or the service in the kingdom. And so these things are very, very important, because there's a great number of people who are walking around believing they're in the will of God when in reality they're not. And there's no excuse for that. There's no excuse for false doctrine. There's no excuse for error in the church, because truth is rooted in righteousness and all error is rooted in rebellion. And a person's going to fall on one side or the other. So if you turn over to James, I'm going to review a bit first, but I also want to go back to some of the scriptures in James, because last time I really felt that I rushed over them to finish up. But in the past teachings, we've been talking about the scripture Matthew 5:48, which says we are to be perfect like our Heavenly Father's perfect, and talked about the fact that He is righteously motivated towards us. In other words, whatever He does, whatever He says, whatever in His dealings with us, is always for our greatest eternal benefit, that is both now and the ages to come. And of course, Matthew 6:33, seeking first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And that's a very significant scripture in the sense that, in more ways than one, but in the sense that we have the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, and we have the kingdom that man tries to build, with Satan's help, of course. And so again, when we're seeking first the kingdom of God and the establishment of that kingdom, first in our own hearts, and then, of course, in the hearts of others, then everything else falls into line. We're abiding in righteousness, and all the things that we're seeking, or that we need, rather, are added unto us by God, instead of an element of self-seeking coming in, and which ends up, of course, which is lust, and lusting after things which are apart from God, even with the good intention, so to speak, of trying to do God's will. If we are not seeking first the kingdom, if we are not empowered by Him in all things, then we're going to try and add things. We're going to try and form our own agendas and so on. And like I said, one of the reasons this is so important now is because God is coming to judge His church. And each one of His children are going to fall on one side or the other. And so we want to be found on the side of abiding in righteousness, being motivated by God in all things, and doing the things and saying the things that are pleasing to Him. If people really come into proper relationship with the Father on His terms, the way He desires, then they'll begin to understand that He has a plan, He has an agenda, and they can partake of it freely. And the only thing that'll keep a person out of that is, again, self-desire. So we're going to talk some more about that and some of the scriptures we deal with. But it's extremely important, because even though there still seems to be a small place in time for people to come into a deep and thorough repentance, it's clear that God is raising up true spiritual environments throughout the earth, and the time is getting late, and there is a storm that's going to hit, and it's going to hit hard, and everything that can be shaken will be shaken. We have that promise in the Word. So if we are come to the place where we're abiding in righteousness, and I'll deal with the scripture on this later, that says the righteous will never be shaken. Well, if we're in that place of right standing with God and true fellowship with God, or perfect fellowship with God, then those things which could have been shaken if we didn't allow Him deal with them, they won't be there anymore. And so we'll be able to function in this earth as the glorious church. And that's no small thing. It will take the perfect empowerment of God. It will take an acclimatization to His presence in order just to function in the midst of His blessing, in the midst of His presence, of course. And then, we were in Matthew 7 a few times. One of the scriptures, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father. So, you know, we have to have a desire to be righteously motivated in all things, but we also need to have that corresponding action that in line with the revelation of God's will that we have at all times. And then in Matthew 24, we talked about the fact that rebellion is increasing in the earth. It's almost tangible in the spirit. I mean, you can see it happening out there, that rebellion is increasing, and it's causing those people whose hearts are not wholly given to God to fall into things that one would never have thought possible, as far as false doctrine, as far as maintaining selfish motivation and steadfastly calling it the will of God when it's not. That, again, is the most dangerous place for a person to be in, because who are they going to listen to? And then we talked quite a bit about the fact that it's only consistent fellowship with the Father and His Word, and that's day by day, that we can have the assurance in our heart that the Holy Spirit is doing the deepest work of the cross in us, that He's able to do the deepest work of the cross in us, that we're not rebelliously holding on to something. See, I'm just believing the Holy Spirit will get this across. It's a very dangerous position for one to be in, that is outside of proper fellowship with God, because it's only in that fellowship with God that certain spiritual transactions take place that, first of all, shed light on any ground of darkness within us, any ground of fear. That, in turn, allows us to act in a corresponding manner to the Word of God rather than to our past motivation or selfish motivation. And when we do that, revelation knowledge is born, comes in, and replaces that ground of fear, selfishness, pride, and the scripture, perfect love casts out all fear, and then we continue on. And so it's been a process. But over the years, God has dealt with us and brought us to a place where if we will stay in that right fellowship with Him, then we will be aware of what's going on. There's absolutely no excuse for a Christian to walk around being blinded by the devil in self-desire or unrighteous motivation. The only reason is because they've decided to hold on to that, and it causes them to be in a position of turning away from the light rather than running to the light, as it says in John. And so it's a very subtle thing in these days that the devil's trying to do. And now I'm talking to people who have vision, who have revelation, who have shown a desire to do all of the will of God and to receive all that He has for them, a very subtle thing the devil is trying to do. And so we must be even more alert in these days to, again, fellowship with God on His terms, spend time in the Word, and as I go on to talk about, saturate our heart with the Word so that His light is continually entering in and being shed abroad in our heart, His love, the same thing. This keeps us righteously motivated. You see, it's all by His empowerment. We can have the best intentions to be righteously motivated and treat people right and minister the Word of God properly and do all these things, but unless we have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, without any self-desire being evident, then we will hold part back. And if we hold part back in this last hour, we're seeing the principle of leaven come into play like never before. And that is that if we hold back something, some ground of fear, then ultimately we will be consumed by fear. So it is a dangerous age, but at the same time, this is the age wherein the revelation knowledge of God's provision is coming forth very, very powerfully, very, very clearly. And the only people, again, who aren't going to receive that are people who steadfastly resist the will of God in order to retain self desire in any way. And so it said that because lawlessness or rebellion has increased, the love of many will grow cold. Well, the first love that will grow cold will be a person's love for God and his love for his will, and of course everything falls apart from there. But we don't want to be those people. We want to be a people who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And when we do that, I mean, when you think of hunger and thirst, I mean, we've all been in a place, maybe not as it is in some countries in the world, but you know, we've been in a place where we've certainly been hungry. We've been in a place where we've been thirsty, and you know, being out on a hot day for a long period of time. And so we understand that hungering and thirsting after righteousness is not the normal course of action, and not a casual course of action. It is something that produces an intense activity within us, and a steadfast activity. And most importantly, in this last hour, a revelation that God is really seeking to get across to all of us is consistency in our walk. When we're consistently fellowshipping with Him on His terms, then we will overcome in all things. And none of these schemes of the enemy will overtake us. And then again, it's hard to get away from Matthew 7 in these days. We talked about the importance of revelation knowledge and the fact that the storms are coming, and you know, we have a choice to either build our house on the rock or the firm foundation of revealed knowledge. And you know, again, one of the great dangers in this last hour is intellectualism. And you know, every time you're dealing with false doctrine that's come into the church, and the things that I've seen, some consistent patterns in that. And somewhere along the line, for whatever reason, it could be any reason really, but it is definitely a maintained position outside the will of God, people get into a place where they begin to mentally ascend to the Word of God. They begin to reach out to the Word on their own strength instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to teach them. It's a very, very subtle thing, but it leads to great darkness on one side. It leads to great light and clarity on the other side, as people affix themselves to the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So the fact is that we need to be a people who abide in revelation knowledge. That's extremely important. I remember when I first started out, I had a lot of so-called knowledge. It didn't mean anything. I just had to unlearn it all. But the fact was that God made it clear to me from the beginning that the importance of revelation knowledge. So consequently, I didn't say very much for a couple of years. And it was a very, very interesting turnaround. And it's very, very important for us to realize that, again, we can speak in that perfect motivation. We can act in a perfect motivation at all times. And so this will really come into play as the glorious church begins to move into the fullness of her mandate. That is, when we go to the highways and byways and all over the place, wherever each Christian is led, we are going to have that perfect word. And on a perfect word is perfect empowerment. On a perfect action is perfect empowerment. And so, in other words, it will accomplish whatever God wants to accomplish. This, again, is why third-day evangelism is no problem, because it's just totally the Holy Spirit. All God needs is an empty vessel, a pure vessel, so that He can do what He wants to do. And I'm going to touch on that a bit later, too. I want to go back again to talk a bit about Adam and how even God is so wonderful. Even in light of the fall, God had already established a pattern before He had to release the plan of redemption. So we'll talk a bit more about that. I touched on it last time. Then I talked about the four schemes of the enemy that are very pronounced in this hour. And I wrote about those in the ministry letter too. Frustration, disappointment, discouragement, and disheartenment. Now, the one thing, again, is that we need to understand is that we can rise above the schemes of the enemy, no matter what he's trying. We can come into a position where we're not ignorant of those schemes, and we need to. This is getting downright dangerous, And I know the people who are in the proper environments understand what I'm saying, but the people out there don't realize the great danger they're in unless a deep and thorough repentance is forthcoming on their behalf. And I don't know how much I'll get into that today. But the fact is that for many years there's been this soft underbelly of Christianity, and it's been a number of people, vast multitudes you might say, that have continued to outwardly serve God, but inwardly they are devoid of the revelation knowledge that they need. They do not have a revelation of the cross and how it is the one necessary component for all the other glorious things that God has promised in these days, the resurrection power, the walking in the fullness of the authority that's ours in Christ. Unless God has done a deep work of the cross in us, we will not even know that we're walking motivated by self-desire. So you see, it is a dangerous thing. Nonetheless, God calls his children accountable to his word and accountable to all the revelation knowledge that's gone forth in the earth. Because if a person's seeking it, I don't care where they are now or where they've been, he can lead them to what they need to have in this hour. We talked about the fact that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Very, very important revelation knowledge, because if people maintain or at least allow a spirit of fear to keep working in their life, then they are going to remain in bondage. And it's going to set in motion, especially in this last hour, when this deep darkness is overtaking anything it can. And that really is in that lower realm. We need to be a people who are walking up here. Because when this thing starts, and like I said last time, the glorious church is going to be raining down on the principalities and powers, but I'll tell you, the principalities and powers are stepping up their attack down below. Our position has to be here. Overcoming is here, being overcome is here. It's that absolute. And like it says in Matthew 7, this storm is going to burst. It's not just going to start to rain a bit. And I mean, we could see that in the spirit now, but when the storm comes, when the battle hits, it won't take long for this conflict to be in full-scale war for certain. So we must be ready. And, okay, in James 5:16b, it says, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So, you know, Marcia dealt with prayer. It was a very good study, or two studies. Which is very necessary, because we need to be a people who are motivated properly if we're going to be effective prayer warriors in this sense. And again, it's not just a matter of being perfectly motivated when we go out and speak to people. We can have the perfect prayer. We can be in such tune, such a good place with God that we can just literally... He can reveal his heart to us, and we can speak that thing out. And, of course, that's really going to come into play now with the whole area of authoritative prayer, prophetic proclamation. And, again, you know, every time I think of that term now, I still think of the music. And sure, there are days, I'm sure, when we're singing the songs and we're thinking, yeah, that's nice, that's nice, that's nice. But there are other days when you realize what's being proclaimed through the singing of these songs. The heart of the Father is what's being proclaimed. And when God sets himself to proclaim something in the earth through whosoever, it's going to come to pass. As long as God still had one person in the earth believing him, he could bring it to pass. But thank God he's getting a remnant that are in perfect accord with his heart. So that's very, very important. So in James 4:3, I touched on this last time, but again, James is talking about, he says, you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. Well, actually, not asking is a wrong motive too. People try and handle things themselves, and so they don't acknowledge God in all their ways. They acknowledge them in some, like when they get in desperate trouble, but didn't we all start out like that? But no, God wants to be involved in our lives, and it's not always a conscious thing. I mean, sometimes you just are living and moving and having your being in Christ, and things happen and words are spoken and all in tune with the heart of the Father. And the first, in the devotional part of this last ministry letter, I just shared a bit about the fact that there are times when when you are in the course of service to God, that the devil will try and resist you, and he will try and resist you speaking the right word or saying or doing the right thing. And so your signals get jammed. And I'll make it into this a little more later, but I just want to touch on it now. The fact is, we don't always have those feelings of clarity and you know, everything is just so smooth. Sometimes we don't know which end is up. And this is the reason why, yet we still have to act or speak. And this is the reason why we need to be a people. That doesn't move God. God's not concerned about, you know, whether we feel right about doing something or so on. He wants us to have that revelation knowledge in our heart, so that whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever happens in our warfare, we can transcend the attacks of the enemy. And no matter how hard he tries to jam our signals, we can speak, even though we don't have that outward assurance or that everything rolling into line. But because the abundance of God's word is in our heart, then when we speak, when we act, then our motivations will be vindicated as being righteous. Now, that's a very important thing to know, because many times Christians will sit around and wait until they feel right about a thing, but that's part of Satan's scheme many times, so he can cause a thing to be put off. But now God is raising up a people, and he's not in the mood to be putting things off. So he's raising up a people who are ready for action. So that's very important. I just want to encourage people that in the times when your signals are jammed to a degree, you know, you just depend on the fact that God has done a job in you, and you step out in your so-called sanctified intellect, and of course, I'm talking now to people who have been faithful to be in the Word of God. If people have just been walking along in self-agenda, self-desire, they're always going to do, well, the devil won't give them too much problem. They're going to do the wrong thing anyways. So, but I just want you to know that there are times where you're going to be called to walk by faith. I mean, it's going to be a conscious act of walking by faith. Of course, we're called to walk by faith at all times. There are other times when you know, you just do it. But there are times that Satan will try and prevent us. But if we will be a people who put the word first and a people who seek to walk by faith and not by sight, to not to be moved by what we hear or see or feel or think as our final authority, then it's amazing how completely Satan can be shut out. And of course, God will vindicate us. It might be instantly. It might not be till the believer's judgment. I don't know. But the fact is, God will vindicate us. And we will have that assurance in our heart. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, if we're Christians who are truly serving God, we should know when we sin and when we don't. We should know when there's a lingering a bit of self-desire or whatever wrong motivation is there. And we should never get ourselves out into a place where our heart is hardened to any degree. If we avoid that, you see, then we can come into this place of rest all that striving for self-agenda is gone. Why? Because our focus is on the will of God. Okay, so he says in verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures or your desires. Now you see, I mean, I remember when I used to look at that scriptures when I first started to serve the Lord, I mean, you know, we had a desire to do this, a desire to do that. It was obvious. But what the problem has become now is that because people have held part back, they've maintained these wrong motivations in their service to God and are convinced that they're walking in the center of God's will. Now, there's a reason for this, because, as I said before, at any given moment, a human being is going to be found walking in faith. It's either going to be a natural faith, faith in their own abilities, faith in whatever, or it's going to be faith in God. It's going to be faith exercised in the will of God and the revelation of God's will. And if people continue in that place of holding part back, then there's that natural faith is exercised. And what happens is it brings self-assurance. And when you get that, what the self-assurance is actually a counterfeit of divine assurance. And we get our divine assurance from the revelation knowledge that comes into our heart. You know, we know because we know because we know. You know, and I use the example. It's kind of blatant, but it's obvious. I mean, if somebody came up to you now and told you you weren't born again, I mean, how would you react? You wouldn't get upset. You would try to explain why you're born again and do all these things. Well, it should be the same way with every element of our Christian life. We should have divine assurance abiding within our heart. But what within our heart? But what's happening is out there, especially in religious circles, is that people are convinced that they have revelation from God, when in reality it's a counterfeit revelation produced by a natural faith born of a self-assurance, born by a continued abiding in self-desire. So you see, it's a counterfeit, but I'm telling you, it's just as real to those people. So when they see, it's just the same as when they saw Jesus, when they see the true servants of God in this last hour, they're going to be completely convinced that the true servants are off and that they're on. I mean, that's a simple thing to understand, but I'm saying this is going to get radical. I think Shelley's message was Pharisaical madness. And that you can always tell the difference between somebody walking in revelation knowledge and somebody walking in this counterfeit revelation. People walking in revelation knowledge have a divine assurance, and the fruit of the Spirit are continually born in what they say and do, peace, joy, love, in counteracting, in dealing with the situation of people who are counteracting them. And you can always tell the people who are walking by counterfeit revelation or self-assurance, and that is self-vindication. That is the number one thing. arguing and even murdering, I suppose it would come down to, because they're right. But see, self-righteousness comes to the fore there, because they're more interested in proving that they're right than actually knowing what is actually of righteousness. So, you know, these are all things that we've heard before, but it's very important to be aware of what's going on, because it still is one of the hardest things. When you're walking in love, when you're walking in obedience, when you're doing exactly what God tells you to do, and people tell you you're not, it just is. That'll test you right to the core. And if there's any element of self-righteousness, then, you know, there may be a little period of dealing there. But the fact is, we need to be a people who walk with divine assurance. And even in getting caught up in arguing or things like that, you know, God will show us how to handle every situation in perfect love. And so we need to be righteously motivated, first, of course, towards God, and then towards his people, even the religious people. Okay. Verse 4, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us. And again, in this last hour, people are going to be found to be under that whole element of fellowship with the world. I'm talking about heart fellowship now. And I'm talking about heart fellowship with the ways of the world. The ways of the world are fear, selfishness, intimidation, getting to the top however you can, all self, 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 self. Even their religion is based on self. So the fact is that we need to be people who are abiding in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to do his work in us. Extremely important. I believe I'm going to touch on that again, because it's extremely important to understand some things about the world or this present world system. Even now, there are certain things happening in the earth that you can tell, can show you very clearly that people are being blinded. There's a great amount of course, persecution against Israel, a great amount of persecution against the U.S. for their stand as far as the Middle East goes, and including Israel. So, and people are blinded. People don't understand these spiritual things. So we need to be a people who, again, who are partaking of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because the alternative is the spirit of Antichrist. And even now, again, Satan's schemes are coming forth and making things sound so good. But in reality, God has a plan, like we said before, and there is a remnant he's raising up to carry this plan out radically. So, again, just reviewing that about praying and the importance of praying from a righteous motivation. Praying from an unrighteous motivation, that is fear or self-desire, leads to self-focus. In other words, it takes your focus off of God. Wrong discernment. In other words, you don't understand the heart of God. And the loss of, well, actually the next, but the loss of the power or the divine ability to understand all things. That's what God has given us. As we abide in love, then we'll come to understand all the things we need to understand in any given moment. That's a great place to be in. But it's, again, if a person's not righteously motivated towards God, first of all, then they won't be righteously motivated towards his people. And if they're not righteously motivated towards God and towards his people, they will not have understanding because God won't trust them with it. Being righteously motivated in all things, understanding that importance. Verse 5, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. So you see, the fact is that, again, the principle of leaven, if people maintain leaven, the leaven of self in any degree, the level of seeking after something other than the will of God, the word of God, any element of seeking God, putting God second in any way, then we will become stable, or unstable rather, in all our ways, ultimately. Very, very important, especially in this last hour. We're coming down to the end of some things. Again, the importance of revelation knowledge. When we put ourselves in a position to receive revelation from God day in and day out, whatever that means to each individual Christian, then it will cause us to transcend the schemes of the enemy and not be ignorant of what he's doing, and most importantly, not be ignorant of what God's doing. And so we're never deceived or allow ourselves to be deceived into the position that we think we're in the will of God when we're not. We'll have that continual divine assurance. And I'll tell you, it doesn't matter what storm comes. If you have that divine assurance in your heart, it's the most valuable thing. The revelation knowledge does constitute the true riches. It really does. So it's very, very important this last hour. Turn over to John 5:30. It's hard to talk about righteous motivation and not deal with this scripture somewhere along the line, because Jesus really set things in motion when he spoke this. In verse 30, he said, I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Another absolute kingdom principle right there. The fact is that you could use another word for judge, discern. It says the discernment or the judgment is just or righteous. In other words, when we look out on something, we are able to discern that clearly, and we can discern the true motive. Why? Because we don't have any self-motivation. We have given ourselves wholly to do the will of God. And, you know, again, I've said this before, but a lot of Christians get themselves in a unnecessary trouble just by simply holding on to some element of self-will. And it allows that darkness to come in and cause them to lose their clarity. One of the great characteristics of the third day is clarity. And it's a great thing to have. I've been through some things. God's been showing me some things. And I'm telling you, I knew he said this from the beginning. We are going to need the fullness of our provision in Christ. It's not a matter of knowing this part of the covenant or that part of the covenant. We are going to need to be a people who have studied to show ourselves approved before God, first of all. And he will reveal what we need. And, you know, the simple thing is, if we just put God first, if we acknowledge him in all our ways, then he will direct our paths. If we don't acknowledge him in all our ways, then the devil will direct our paths. It's that simple. And we know the end of his paths are always death and darkness. And darkness on the path as you go. So it's extremely important for us to be in the proper position. Then we'll have that clarity, because we're going to be called upon in these days ahead, whatever we're called to individually and corporately. But we're going to be called to great discernment
And as I said, when that righteous motivation is abiding in one's heart, they can speak into a situation perfectly. And they can act in a situation perfectly. And there are many in this last hour, they're going to begin to call out to God from their heart. And so God is going to need a people who will be there and who will know what's going on and it will understand all things. Extremely important. There is a purpose for everything that we've gone through in the years before and now, and even in the days ahead. Our God is a God of perfect purpose, and he doesn't waste time. I look back at my own walk, and the only one that's wasted time is me. I've never seen God waste time. So it's important that we're sharp and we're alert. Turn over to Romans 12, 2. Again, it's funny, all these scriptures, you know, that really have been in the forefront of what God has been showing me throughout the years, but, you know, they have a new slant on them now, kind of a refreshing of the overall vision and revelation, and again, the absoluteness of God's character being revealed through what he's saying. I mean, he is a God that can be trusted perfectly, and so when we can come to that place where we begin to gain a revelation of his absoluteness, it causes our faith to grow. It causes or becomes strong. It causes our trust in him to become absolute, and that's exactly where he desires to lead each and every one of his children. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, I might add, and its ways, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Extremely important, this whole area of being conformed to the world. See, it's more than just, because we're called to walk through the world. I mean, obviously, we're out there in the physical earth walking through the world. But if someone has any element of self-desire, then they're drawn by that desire to remain conformed to the world. Because the only way you can fulfill self-agenda and self-desire is to operate in the ways of the world. The only way you can fulfill the desires of God is to take his perfect provision and total empowerment by the Holy Spirit. Again, absolutes. And so it's very, very important that we are a people who are continually putting ourselves in position to allow God, by his power, to renew our minds. We do have the mind of Christ. It belongs to us as Christians. But we need to be in a position where that mind of Christ flows. And I'll just give you a quick example of this. People who walk by sense knowledge, that is, their final authority in their life, is their five physical senses. Well, I see this, it must be that way. I heard that must mean this, and so on. They are always discerning things from the outside. They have to see this, they have to hear this, they have to, what they think is their reality, and so on and so forth. So everything's coming from the outside. Well, the devil, they're an open target for the devil. Because he's just putting his thoughts in their mind, and they're just going, yeah, that's right, that's right, that's right. But see, it's a whole different thing with the spiritual walk. When our spirit man is in dominance over our soul and body, then Paul talked about this, what happens is revelation is born through the Holy Spirit, comes in through our inner man, and comes up, I don't know if this is physically right, but comes into our mind from the inside, not the outside. So there's spiritual impulses producing spiritual thoughts. That's a whole different thing than thoughts that are produced from the outside. That's why it's so important to bring every thought captive to the revealed knowledge of God's word. And that's why people who don't have revelation knowledge are forced to walk and discern and act based on what they see and feel and hear and think. It's an extremely important thing because God is always, always speaking to us, always bringing up these impulses, even if it's a past thought, it doesn't make any difference. Always based, always expanding on revelation knowledge. See, revelation knowledge cannot remain stationary or stagnant. It has to increase. It has to expand. It's the nature of God. You know, I mean, when he spoke that word, light be, and light went forth at 186,000 miles per second or something like that, I mean, It's still going. It can't stop. I mean, again, all these things, part of our problem in the church at large would be solved to a great degree if people began to understand that we really do serve Almighty God. And, you know, as we come into that place of perfect fellowship with Him, we begin to get a revelation of His character. We begin to understand just how awesome He really is. We're going to see it in person in the days ahead. And so, again, we have to be acclimatized, not only physically to the presence of God, but also spiritually through revelation knowledge to understand His ways. Because I'll tell you, we've said this before, God, what God will say and do through His people will be calculated to offend anything and everything that's apart from Christ. You ever wonder why people get upset when you just simply obey God or simply speak an exhortive word? It's because it was calculated to offend something that's in, and this is all beyond our consciousness. Our job is just to speak out of the abundance of our heart and to have our heart filled with the abundance of God's word. Let God do the rest of the work and the Holy Spirit on that word. We are to walk by faith and not by sight. That should be clear to every Christian. We need to saturate our heart with the word of God. It's the Father's desire that our minds, our mind, our will, our emotions, our desires are renewed to the degree that we see all things through His eyes, that we're experiencing all things through Him. When Jesus cried over Jerusalem, that wasn't just some emotional thing that happened. He was in agreement with the Father. And that expression came, was a corporate expression of grief, which, of course, we know God had put up with through it, through the Old Testament. It was a corporate expression of grief because now God's best was in the earth. He had portrayed His best in the midst of His people, and that was the final judgment on that dispensation. And, of course, it was a tragic one, ending in Jerusalem being razed to the ground. But the fact is that it's not over. It's extremely important that we understand that He wants us to see all things through His eyes. And again, another element of coming into perfect fellowship with Him, I mean, He's wonderful. I mean, we all know that, but I mean, He does things that are so outstanding and so, I hate to use the expression down to earth, but so practical and speaks to our heart. He knows exactly how to speak to our heart. And I've had a couple of examples. I had one a couple of weeks ago when Bill was preaching. Bill was talking about Almighty God, and he was talking about how God, you know, placed the earth in the perfect place, and, you know, everything was just not even one bit out of sync. And, you know, he went on and shared a few other things, and I, at the time, I was thinking about a different situation I was dealing with. And just at the end, after Bill had finished speaking, the Father just spoke to my heart. He says, yeah, I could even handle so-and-so. And I mean, that just turned everything around for me, but that's the way He ministers when we allow Him to. And because sometimes we forget, you know, that He's Almighty God, and that He wants to be there with us and wants us to be depending on His empowerment in all things. That's not the only time that happened to me. But one word, one revelation knowledge, one movement on His behalf or on our behalf by Him can change everything. It can change darkness into light. It can change night into day. And so, you know, I really believe that gives Him His greatest joy is when He can speak to the deepest part of our heart in a critical moment. And it was actually quite humorous, really, but it was a real blessing. So, turn over to 1 John 2. Another thing we have to keep in mind is that our God is faithful, and He's both willing and able to bring everything that He has given us or blessed us with in Christ to pass and cause us to come into that. 1 John 2, 15. Do not love the world. Now keep in mind, while reading this passage, that John ended this first letter that he wrote with, children, guard yourselves against idols. So he was talking about the comparison between loving God with all your heart and loving anything else. Two positions. You know, being righteously motivated, being unrighteously motivated. He says, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You could also say that, or the desires of the Father's heart towards mankind are not in them. And that's why people come up with all these religious organizations and schemes and plans, but they're not meeting the needs of the people. The whole element of anything done apart from the Holy Spirit is self-glory. So the point is, we need to have the heart of the Father. We need to have His desires, His motivations, or being motivated by Him in our heart. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. And, you know, that you can go a long way with that. But the fact is that when we are actively doing the will of God, when we're actively moving and acting in revelation knowledge, and, of course, seeking first the kingdom, then we're abiding in the fullness of His provision. And again, like I said before, when no matter what happens with our feelings or whatever tries to come from the outside, it will be deflected. And again, I mentioned earlier about the shield of faith and how we started out. You know, the shield was always the shield. I mean, I used to physically put on every piece every morning. I had to. I was getting my mind renewed. But now we come to realize that all those elements of the armor are God Himself abiding within us. And the fact is that the shield of faith, well, faith works by love. When our heart is filled with the love of God, we have a protection that is impenetrable. The devil can't touch Him. That's where that scripture comes. And I think I wrote in the last ministry letter that the scripture dealing with the evil one touches him not, it means he won't be able to influence the deepest motivation of our heart. And that means if we're righteously motivated, it means he can't take us off course in any way. It doesn't matter what happens at the outside. When you have the love of God abiding in your heart, then you will always act in a manner which is pleasing to Him, which is motivated righteously, and it will always do the greatest harm to the devil, no matter what you do. It will always exalt the name of Jesus to the greatest degree, always glorify the Father to the greatest degree, and always elevate or empower His people to the greatest degree. Those four things automatically manifest in our lives and in the lives of those who cross our path when we're abiding in the love of God and thus being righteously motivated in all things. 1 John 3, just over here, verse 10. See, again, we're coming down to absolutes. And you notice Jesus, of course, spoke to a great degree. And we're going to go to that scripture after this one. And John 2, used to call John the apostle of love. And the fact is that he did have a revelation of God's love. And in verse 10, he says, "By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious." I like that. "Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." In other words, there's two elements of the divine requirement, really, and that is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our entire being, and so on, and to love one another. In other words, to be righteously motivated towards God and righteously motivated towards His people. If you do those two things, then you will accomplish all that God created you to accomplish. And that's what we need to be seeking after. And the further you get into that place, the more obvious it is who's operating in self-agenda and who's not. Okay, turn over to John 8. These are all familiar scriptures. But the fact is, we're coming down to a major confrontation here. We want to be found to be the children of God and not serving the devil in any way or helping his schemes in any way. Jesus said in John 8:44, "You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father." I'm not going to go into all that right now, but it's extremely important to know that if you're not being influenced by God in this last hour, you're being influenced by the devil. You know, if you're not acknowledging God in all your ways, then it's going to be the devil who directs your paths and not God. "He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them because you are not of God." And basically what that means to us is, if people come into this position, they're not motivated by God. They're motivated by self still. And, of course, doing the works of the devil. They're motivated by self. Two things that were said here. There's no truth in Satan. So we know that there's no element of truth in his world system. That, again, the importance of not being conformed to that world system. Therefore, if one remains in fellowship with the world, they are already on a foundation of deception and lies, and they will find no light or truth as long as their heart remains there. And you know, when I did this morning, I thought of false doctrine, and I know a certain case that God has shown me already that when you get down to the root of why a person steps into error and false doctrine, it's always some element of ground that he hasn't allowed God to deal with. It could be bitterness, it could be unforgiveness, but regardless of what it is, it could be fear, regardless of what it is, it holds darkness. And from that ground, the devil has opportunity to put forth his doctrine, which is, of course, to counteract truth, and also, of course, to keep that people and anybody else he can in bondage through that. And in this last hour now, as the wheat and tares are being brought or gathered together in whatever category they are, kindred spirits are coming together. Those who are wholly given to God, well, so are those who are like in soulish nature. Those who are still looking, seeking, but not for the establishment of God's kingdom, but the establishment of a place where they can fit in to maintain their own desire for self-glory. I'm not saying this stuff is conscious. People are rather conscious of this stuff. No, they're not. If they were, because they really knew what they were doing, they most certainly would not be doing it. But nonetheless, you know, we are accountable to the Word of God, and we are accountable to the will of God as Christians. We've been bought with a price that we might no longer live for ourselves, and that's the beginning point right there. That's why the cross is so important, because if people don't have a revelation of that, they are going to, in their self-righteousness, maintain an element of self-will and call it righteous. And that, of course, is an open door to darkness. And again, the darkness of this hour is the one that Jesus warned about when he said, "Take heed that the light that is in you is not darkness." So you know it has to be a subtle counterfeit, but the poles are exact opposite ends. One is absolute truth, and one is absolute darkness and lies and death. Okay, go to Proverbs 3. Again, this is an extremely important passage of Scripture. I mean, there are so many kingdom principles found in Proverbs, and it's very important to meditate on those and get them into our hearts, because, you know, when people are truly seeking God in this last hour, he really is revealing himself in his absoluteness. And like I said, revelation of his absoluteness produces an absolute trust. It produces the faith we need to have. It produces an absolute faith in God, and the exercising of an absolute faith, the release of an absolutely tremendous outflow of the force of faith being released in what we do. And see, that's why God's preparing us to be pure vessels. Because when this thing, I'm telling you, what's happening or what's going to happen in the glorious church is nothing like we're walking in now. This is all still the preparation time in that sense, even though we've been so blessed to experience an outflow, an outpouring of his revelation knowledge. But I'm telling you, this is going to be something. And when the church enters in to what God has planned, it will just be a supernatural or non-stop supernaturally until the end of the age, a flowing in the Spirit, absolute discernment in all things, a perfect discernment. So we'll get the job done. And like I said, once this thing begins to take legs, the momentum, the spiritual momentum behind what God does, and I don't get into time, but the fact is it's going to be a very intense period of time. And just one brief thing, in some of the things I've experienced or he's given me glimpses of, he said to me that one day, people will accomplish more in one day than it seemed they accomplish in a month or even more, like whatever the thing is. So the fact is we have some good things to look forward to. Proverbs 3, verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight." Again, two absolute kingdom principles. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, or love the Lord with all your heart. Depend on him with all your heart. And in all your ways, acknowledge him. You see, the key to acknowledgement is this. You see, you're always going to acknowledge something in any given situation. You can acknowledge yourself. You can acknowledge somebody else's experience. You can acknowledge a direct command from the devil. You can, but the key is, in our heart, if we will practice this, acknowledging God in all our ways, then, you see, he'll direct our paths. Even though we don't understand the paths that we're on, we've all experienced this over the years. We've, you know, obeyed God and taken instruction, and it led to a path we just didn't think it was going to turn out that way. But the fact is, it did turn out perfectly. And in hindsight, or later on, we could look back and see God's perfect wisdom on our behalf. And so the key then for every Christian is to acknowledge him. And whatever that takes, sometimes you acknowledge him and instantaneously you'll get an answer. Sometimes you need to just continue on waiting for the answer. But the fact is, if you take the step to acknowledge him, he'll be directing your paths even before you have the revelation. A further revelation. And you'll know you're on the right path. See, he's made the perfect provision for Christians to walk in perfect obedience. There's no excuse. And there is a doctrine, it's been in the church for probably since the first word was ever uttered, or the first bit of revelation was ever uttered. It's what God called the doctrine of imperfection. No, God said, you know, you be perfect as I am, or Jesus said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. If he said it, then we're required. And if it's required of us, then God will empower us, because he doesn't require us to do these things by ourselves. I mean, this thing gets simpler as the further you get into it, but if Christians aren't in the right position, they have absolutely no idea what's going on. So we need to be those people who are in the right position. Proverbs 4:23, just over the page, another extremely important verse. Guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. You know, we've talked about the scripture in John 7:38 about how rivers of living water will flow forth. Well, you know, rivers can be a lot of things. They can be a little thing that you hardly, they're almost dried up, or they can be a raging flood tide or flood that is sweeping everything in its path away. So we are going to be a people, those people who are faithfully serving God, from whom torrents of living water. And this is why the devil's going to get overwhelmed. I mean, there's a reason why he's running in terror from the thought of the true church, you know, coming forth. And it's that very reason, because the life of God, the love of God, the light of God, the truth, the power, whatever it takes, is going to overwhelm everything in its path. In other words, we are going to be a church who relentlessly search and destroy the works of the enemy. And he'll run in stark terror from the glorious church for the remainder of this dispensation. Okay, we'll do that once again. I'll just read this. I want to repeat this. I believe I did it the last time. I mentioned earlier there's a storm coming, and we need to be in the proper positioning. These are truly the days when every last child of God must let go of anything that would keep them out of the perfect fellowship that the Father requires of them in the inner chamber. For the holy place is the only place wherein one can partake of the perfect empowerment necessary to overcome in all things. As the days ahead become more and more turbulent, it shall clearly be seen that there is only one place of refuge from the storm, and that is in the very presence of God himself. And people are going to notice that very quickly in the world. That's why they're going to come to the true spiritual environments. Within the true spiritual environments, we are going to be abiding in the very presence of God himself. So that thing's in order. And a scripture just to end, 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So again, Father, we just thank you. We just thank you, Father, you're raising us up as a people of faith, a people who abide in absolute faith and absolute trust in you. a people who keep their eyes fixed on the things that are not seen rather than the things that are seen. We give you all praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.